Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast will contain descriptions of acts of violence or of a sexual nature and are for people that are 18 years or older. Heed my warning, people. I do not get the facts of these cases off the internet or from some television show. These facts I'm retelling were presented to me by the victims of the crime or the perpetrators who committed the crimes. My descriptions of the crime scenes are what I saw with my own two eyes. If you are going to get offended, turn this podcast off now. Thank you. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. I'm Woody Overton, your host. Before we get started, once again, I want to give some shout outs and some thank yous. The first thank you is to all of our listeners. And the response is awesome, y'all. Y'all are the best fans in the entire world. We are now right at 14,000 downloads, which is amazing. And our private Facebook page is over 420 members, when just a month ago we had three. So it's due to y'all, the fans, liking and sharing and promoting us, and we really appreciate it. And the response has been overwhelming. Y'all are awesome. And let's keep it up. Keep sharing and keep posting and watch us grow, right? It's just truly, truly amazing. And we thank you so much. Now, we had a contest on the private Facebook page for who could get the most downloads in a 24-hour period for new members. And we had three winners, and the first one is Leslie DeMars, who's Leslie's a good friend of mine, a lifelong law enforcement professional out of Hammond, Louisiana. Leslie, we appreciate you. And second was Celeste Cowart-Winkle. Celeste is also a good friend of ours, a family friend, and we really appreciate Celeste. It's awesome. And Mr. Troy Perrett, P-E-R-R-E-T. Troy Perrett really appreciate your effort and taking the time to do it, y'all. And it's the little efforts like that that are making us skyrocket to the top. So we really appreciate it. And now y'all want to talk about Patreon. We're on Patreon and we added a new tier level, a $2 tier, which allows you to participate in asking questions to be used in future episodes. And we're starting the Real Talk hotline with me, where all of our Patreon members are going to be given a private number where they can call in and ask questions or give shout outs or complain or whatever you want to say. We're going to call it in and record it, and we're going to work it into the episodes. Of course, we're going to have some more Ask Me Anything episodes, but I'm going to take a few clips every week and just play your voices. So when you call in, tell us where you're from. If you don't want to give your full name, that's fine. But give us a first name at least and where you're from, and we want to hear what you have to say. You could rate the bad guys on the sphincter scale or shout out Murder by You or whatever it is you have on your mind. For our patron members, we want you to call it in. We want to hear from you, and we want our other fans to hear from you, and really appreciate it. So check us out on Patreon. And we also have merchandise. The store's up. There's only a few items in now. Car stickers, bumper stickers, magnets, coffee mugs. But we'll have our shirts up this week. And more merchandise as it comes in, we'll be posting it to the store. So y'all check those things out. We appreciate it. And don't forget our private Facebook page. Like I said, it's over 420 members now. And we have the best team of moderators in the world. Really appreciate each and every one of y'all, and thank you to the moderators and administrators or whatever you call them on the page. Y'all know who you are, and we interact with you every day, and we really appreciate you. So today we're going to be concluding the series Murder Me Now. As you know, if you've listened to the previous two episodes, Gerald Bordelon kidnapped or abducted and raped and murdered and choked to death little Courtney LeBlanc, his stepdaughter, and left her on the riverbank. He led investigators to her body after 11 days of her being in the woods, and he confessed. And now he's a serial rapist and just a really, really bad guy. And he'd been arrested. Of course, he escaped, and we called him, and then, you know, I had the personal interactions with him every time I'd go to the jail. And then he's waiting for his trial time, right? So lots of stuff happens before they actually go to trial. A lot of pretrial motions, motions to suppress the evidence of his confession. It was the first part. And we go to that hearing, and it's a freebie, y'all, for the defense to get the whole case thrown out. Even though he confessed on audio and video and everything was done by the book, they still challenge it, the defense does, and say it was illegal or it was coerced, etc. And they're just praying that somebody's going to get on the stand and mess up and say something and I'll have the whole case thrown out. Well, they weren't dealing with a bunch of rookies, okay? You're dealing with Jeff Methen from the FBI and Chuck Watts from the Livingston Parish Sheriff's Office and couple others, and these guys were on their A game. There was no coercion or anything like that. And so naturally that motion to suppress was denied. So he's sent back to the jail. He waits the next pretrial motion, and this goes on until his jury trial begins in June of 2006. All right. During the trial, it was Gerald Bordelon's defense that Jennifer Locke Bordelon, his wife, or now estranged wife, Courtney's mother, actually killed Courtney, and that she put the body down by the river, and he was innocent, and he was just taking the blame for her so she didn't have to go to prison, and that she showed him where the body was and all this. It's a bunch of bullshit. We all know it now. I'm not saying that Jennifer Bordelon's not culpable because she knew he was a sex offender, et cetera, a violent sex offender, and she still chose to date him and then marry him and give him access to the kids. And then Courtney's older sister reported that Gerald molested her, and then Courtney reported it, and Jennifer moved Courtney to Livingston Parish to avoid further investigation. And she tried to lie and say that she did it and separated from Gerald. We know that's not true because the week before Bordelon kidnapped and murdered Courtney, he was electrocuted in the house while doing some electrical work. And like I told you before, Courtney actually called 911 and gave him CPR and kept him alive until the medics got there. So his whole defense, mom murdered her, left her by the river, and he was innocent. He just was taking the blame for her so she wouldn't get in trouble, and because he loved her, and yada yada, whatever. Bullshit, okay? And everybody saw through it. The jury comes back, unanimous verdict of guilty in almost no time. And then they start the sentencing phase of the trial in which Gerald Bordelon had a chance to offer some mitigating circumstances. Now, by sentencing, I mean the life and death part of the trial. The jury was instructed that they were going to have to vote on whether or not to put him to death because he was convicted of the first degree murder of Courtney LeBlanc, which was the kidnapping and slash rape murder at the same time, the aggravating circumstances that make it first degree murder. And he decided not to put on any type of defense in the death penalty part, right? He just didn't want to do it. So the prosecution tells about how horrific crime is. Then they're able to tell for the first time about all his prior sex convictions and the kidnappings that he had done before and his long history of just being a really, really bad guy. And he puts on no defense on that part of the trial, and the jury retires, and they come back in less than 45 minutes, and the sentence is death. So Gerald Bordelon just sat there when they said death, and he was pretty stoic. He didn't cry. He didn't get mad. He didn't do anything in the courtroom. He just sat there, and they took him into custody or handcuffed him up and getting ready to bring him to the jail. Now, it so happened I was in the hallway when they were moving him through, and this is where we get the title for the series. I saw him, and I say Bordelon, and he had his head kind of down, his hands cuff behind him, this heavy security on him. He said, "They can just murder me now." He said, "They can go ahead and kill me." He said, "I'm not fighting the death penalty. They can murder me now. I want them to murder me now." That's all he kept saying over and over again. "Just murder me now. I'm not sitting on death row." So that's what he said, and he meant it. So he's housed back at the jail, and it's the formal sentencing date for the death penalty, it was on November the 6th of 2006. And Gerald Bordelon shows up to court to be sentenced by the judge. Even though the jury comes back and says death penalty that day, they still have to have a formal sentencing day, right? So everybody's there, the media, et cetera, to hear the judge say you're going to be sentenced to death. And Bordelon shows up. And I told y'all that he was smart. And it fits in with the profile, the type of serial preferential predator that he is, that every one of them are highly intelligent. It doesn't mean they're formally educated, just means they're highly intelligent. But he shows up and he wants to file a motion. And that motion was to waive the direct appeal. He asserted his right to waive the direct appeal in any subsequent post-conviction proceedings. And he asked a trial court judge to put it on the record that his appeal in the court was solely for the purpose of waiving all other appeals for the death penalty. Bordelon said, "I don't think I'm wrong. According to what the Louisiana Code of Criminal Procedure states, the right of an appeal provided by the capital defendants in the Louisiana Code of Criminal Procedure is just that. It's a right. Rights can be waived, just like I had the right to remain silent throughout the whole trial, just like I had the right not to put up."
It's springtime, boys. The grass is green, the birds are chirping, and the kids will be out of school soon. That makes it the perfect time to plan a family vacation. And we know from the stories we cover that this is not exactly the time to take the family to the Caribbean. You don't want to end up in the middle of some cartel drug shootout. So this year, it's time to take an international journey. And of course, a big international trip is just one reason to learn a new language with Rosetta Stone. You might have a different one. Maybe you want to connect with family or friends living overseas. Maybe you want to acquire a new skill for work or better understand a certain culture. Rosetta Stone has helped me have fun with my mother and at least have partial conversations in Italian after only a few lessons.
Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and many more. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways. No English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. Intuitive process, you pick up a language naturally. Designed for long-term retention. Speech recognition, the true accent feature is like having a personal trainer for your accent. Rosetta Stone is convenient and an amazing value.
That's right, Woody. A lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Real Life Real Crime and Daily Show listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Sayonara.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Mitigating evidence at the sentencing phase of the trial. I had those rights. That's my right. And my right is also to waive any right of appeal. Gerald said that the Louisiana Criminal Code procedure clearly states that may, M-A-Y, is permissive. The word may is used in Article 912.1. It states the defendant may appeal to the Supreme Court from a judgment in a capital case in which a sentence of death actually has been imposed. And shall is mandatory, may is not. He said, Gerald says, the only thing that's mandatory is for them to rule whether or not the sentence is excessive or not. He said, I don't think I'm wrong on that. I think I have the right to waive it, and that's what I'd like to do. Now, y'all, this is unheard of. In the state of Louisiana, since the death penalty had been reinstated in the 70s, nobody had ever waived their right to appeal for the execution. I mean, he wanted it to be done and to be done as soon as possible. So, and I told you in previous episodes about how it costs so much more to put a person to death in the state of Louisiana than to house them. And that's because of the cost of appeals. And it averages 18 to 25 years that they sit on death row and they go through appeal after appeal after appeal. And the families continue to suffer. And yeah, it's just, it's expensive. It's, you know, a waste of time, in my opinion. I think they should all get a basic review of the case and then just be executed. And I guess I'm just hard like that. Well, you know what? The only ounce of respect I ever had for Gerald Bordelon is him saying, hey, you know what? You can go ahead and murder me now. I don't want to wait. I'm waiving all my appeals. But the kicker of that is the state of Louisiana starts to fight Gerald Bordelon on whether or not he can waive his right to appeal. Now, can you believe that? They spent the next almost 4 years fighting in court to say that Gerald Bordelon didn't know what he was doing or what have you, that he couldn't waive his right to appeal. Now, what the hell does, I mean, I don't understand that. Just you tell me, you explain it to me. You get a death penalty conviction on a guy, and it comes back unanimous, and for the first time ever, you got to have a guy who says, you know what, murder me now. I don't want to sit on death row. But then you're going to, as the state of Louisiana, you're going to fight to prolong it anyway. I mean, to say that he can't waive his appeal. So, I mean, it's a big deal. They went through, like, sanity hearings. He had to be interviewed by shrinks, and they had to say that, you know, he was cognizant, he knew what he was doing. he ended up with Jill Craft, who is probably the top civil rights attorney, if you will, in the state of Louisiana. She takes up high profile cases, whether it's public officials that are being accused or whatever, and people that are being abused by the police. I mean, she is like the bomb, right? So she signs on, I would assume, pro bono, because I think it probably cost $100,000 just to talk to her. But she took it, and she knew it would be big media attention. And the Innocence Project tried to take over his case, and he waived that and kept Jill Craft. And they've fought the appeals process, or the state of Louisiana trying to deny him his right to waive the appeals process. And anyway, it went on for almost 4 years from the time that they sentenced him. And the judge did sentence him to die by lethal injection at Louisiana State Penitentiary at Angola. And so he was shipped to Angola as a DOC, Department of Corrections inmate, as he should be. And he was put on death row during these years. Now, if you remember in episode one, I told you there was a serial killer, the most infamous serial killer Louisiana's ever had, active at the same time that Courtney went missing. And, well, guess what? We called him too, and he was on death row. And it turns out he had the cell next to Gerald Bordelon's, and his name was Derek Todd Lee. And this dude was a true bad guy. The difference between him and Gerald Bordelon is Derek Todd Lee was way more violent. He would break into women's houses and kidnap them and abduct them, beat the shit out of them and rape them and dump their bodies in the bayou or in the Chaffalai Basin in the swamp. He got away with it for a while before he was called. And we'll talk about him in another episode later on. But Derek Todd Lee, the FBI had done a profile on him, and they got it wrong because he was a black guy, an African-American. And so during that whole time when Courtney was missing, et cetera, everybody was looking for this white guy, and turned out he was black, which it is rare to have a black serial killer. But regardless, he was caught through DNA, and basically his cell was next to Gerald Bordelon's. Now, if there's any street justice in the world, if you will, they said, and I have it from a reliable source that worked at Angola on death row, said that Gerald Bordelon got absolutely tortured by Derek Todd Lee every day. All right, so talk about the mentality of it. Derek Todd Lee would call Gerald Bordelon a chomo and say things like, "You're a little bitch, child murderer," and what kind of little, a bunch of bad stuff. He would tease him and ride him all day, every day, and pick on Bordelon. And remember, it doesn't matter what you do to get in prison. Even prisoners hate, or convicts hate, child molesters. But a child molester who kills a kid, not only rapes a kid or molests a kid, but you kill one, you're the lowest of the low. So from the years that he sat on death row, they messed with him every day. I mean, they gave him hell, and well, I mean, rightfully so. Back to the appeals process, when they finally came back and exhausted all the legal motions, the state trying to keep him alive for whatever reason, they came back and they ruled on it. And the final ruling was where Jill Craft had argued that Gerald Bordelon persisted in his desire to waive his appeal, and the reasons why he wished to terminate any appeals of his conviction and sentence, namely that he is guilty of the crime of which he has been convicted, that he has no desire to prolong the pain he has inflicted on the victim's family and his own family, and that he would commit the same crime again if ever given the chance. And so the court comes back and then said, with respect to the defendant's capacity to make a knowing and intelligent waiver of his appeal, and the ultimate result in this case, that death is the appropriate punishment of the defendant for his crime, for the reasons that follow, we grant the defendant's motion and dismiss the appeal. That's the appeal by the state of Louisiana. And before we go on to the execution part, I want to read you one last thing that Gerald Bordelon said. This is what he was telling the shrinks during that process when they had to find him legally sane enough to want to die. And he testified and freely conceded that he had committed the crime and that for the death of his stepdaughter, he deserved the death penalty, and that if he succeeded in overturning his conviction and setting himself free, there was a 99.9% sure possibility he would commit a similar crime again. "Look at my record," he told the psychiatrist. "It got worse and worse every time." And he told him that the death sentence would give Jennifer Bordelon's family some peace, and that if he did appeal and was granted either a new sentencing phase or a new trial, a lot of things that happened before would happen again. His family might have to testify. His ex-wife's family might have to testify. He said that he understood that the first penalty phase, were stressful enough for them, and he didn't want them to go back through that again. He understood the high-profile nature of his case and the stress it caused. He guaranteed that if he got out, he would do it again. He felt like it was futile to put everybody back through the same situation and cause more stress to his family when he really believes that in all likelihood he would kill again. It's crazy, y'all. The shrinks came back and diagnosed him as a sexual sadist and antisocial personality. Anyway, that's enough about that. Let's fast forward to 2010. And he's on death row in Angola. His sentencing date or his death date has been set. He's waived all of his appeals. So it's execution time in the state of Louisiana for Gerald Jimmy Bordelon. Let me tell you a little bit about how that process goes. 48 hours before the execution is to be carried out, they go and take Gerald Bordelon from his cell on death row under heavy guard. It's a specially trained team that moves a death penalty inmate from death row to the what we call the death house. And the death house is a cell that's set close to that execution chamber. It's in a totally separate building. So they move him. And when they're taking him out of the cell, they're giving him hell, right? Normally, when a fellow death row inmate goes to the death house, and they get some show of support from the other people they've spent all the years on death row with. Well, not Gerald Bordelon. They were cheering, happy, child molesting, raping bitch, burning hell, and everything that you could think of, right? They were really giving it to him one good last time. And Bordelon is moved to the death cell and then begins the process of he's put on suicide watch. Actually, they have somebody sitting there monitoring him for the entire time. Once he's moved over there, he will have human eyeballs on him at all time. And I'm not talking about just a camera. The camera's on him also, but literally somebody sitting in front of the cell, which is pretty much stripped of everything that he could harm himself with. At that last minute, they want to make sure he doesn't kill himself and I guess take away the state's execution plans, if you will, right? We want to make sure you don't kill yourself at the last minute because we want to kill you. So he's moved over, and the day before the execution, Warden Burl Kane, who's a great guy, really instrumental in turning around the bloody Angola, is what they used to call it, the worst prison in the United States, but he made a whole lot of reforms, and he's a Christian man, really did care about every one of the executions he presided over, etc. But he let Bordelon make two phone calls the night before the execution. Now, one of the phone calls was to the lady who dropped Courtney off at her house that night, that she stayed home alone when her mother was at the hospital. And the next morning is when Bordelon came in and kidnapped her. And Bordelon basically told the lady, now this lady was not on his regular visiting list, so Burl Kane, the warden, had to approve this, and Burl Kane listened in on the phone call to make sure Bordelon wasn't doing anything twisted.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Orlon told the lady, he said, listen, it wouldn't matter if you had taken her to your house that day like you were supposed to. He said, I would have killed her and raped her at some point. He said, I had it on my mind. I had planned on doing it. I was going to do it. He said, so you quit beating yourself up about letting Courtney stay there by herself. He said, because it wouldn't have mattered if you'd have dropped her off or if she'd have spent the night at your house that night. I would have got her another day. I mean, he plainly, unashamedly admits that his sole intention was to at some point rape and murder Courtney LeBlanc. And Burl Kane let him make another phone call to someone. I'm not sure who this was, but it was another female, they said, that had a child. So he makes the phone call to whoever this other female was. And I can only assume that it had something to do with maybe this lady was worried that Bordelon had raped one of her kids also. But evidently, Warden Kane said that he put her mind at ease, whatever it was. So the next day, execution day, Gerald Bordelon's brought into a visitation room and his family is allowed access for a long period of hours. I think it's like 5 hours or something. And they get to visit face to face. His daughters came, his daughters from the previous marriage, and they visited and his daughter gave him a gold cross, which he gave her a cross that he had made in the prison. I don't know what it was made from. I'm assuming wood or something. And he gets to spend all this quality, precious time that Courtney LeBlanc didn't get to spend when he choked her to death and left her naked on the side of the river. That's what burns my ass when I think about that executions and the visitation time. But he gets to spend all his time saying his goodbyes and his I love yous and whatever. Courtney LeBlanc didn't get that. I believe that the execution be an eye for an eye. They should have took his ass out by the river and choked him to death and left him naked for 11 days. But he gets the visitation and finally it's concluded and they take his daughters to one of the chapels at Angola where they wait. And then it's just the warden and Gerald and his spiritual advisor. And he gets to have his last supper or his last meal. And I always found the last meals that people choose interesting. I don't know why, maybe a little bit of the twisted side in me, but he had fried sakale, which is, sakale is a Cajun term for a certain type of fish. Up north, you call them crappie, or white bass or whatever. It really is an excellent tasting fish. But he had fried saccalay topped with crawfish etouffee, which is crawfish cooked down like in a bisque, which is generally served over rice, but he had his served over his fried fish. Crawfish etouffee, what a delicious meal, right? And a peanut butter and apple jelly sandwich and chocolate chip cookies. And they said, Warden Kane said, that Bordelon was in really good spirits and that he ate his meal. Not only did he eat it, he shared it with Warden Kane and his spiritual advisor, and they said he was positive, upbeat, and like didn't have really have a worry in the world. I mean, but Warden Kane said most inmates would just kind of push the food around the plate and kind of pick at it or whatever, but it said Gerald Bordelon tore into it. He ate it up. Meanwhile, around the same time, Courtney's family is showing up for the execution. Now, the execution is watched. The person being executed is allowed so many viewers, if you will. Then there's representatives from law enforcement, representatives from the media, and representatives from the victim side of the family. And on the victim side was Courtney's mother, Jennifer Koch, K-O-C-K-E, maiden name is what she's going by now, but of course she was Bordelon at the time, and Jennifer's brother, Courtney's uncle, and then Jennifer's older sister, one of the twins, who was actually the other one that he molested, and she had reported the molestation first. And so they're arriving at the prison, going through the security process, and eventually they're brought into the viewing room. Now, on the viewing room has one side will be the witnesses for the victim, and on the other side, if they choose to be so, or the bad guy's family, or whoever it is he chooses to have view. And in the middle is the glass booth where the gurney is in the room where the execution has, and has big glass windows all the way around with curtains on it. So they bring in Bordelon, the seven men dressed in all black in their protective suits, escort Bordelon in, and he's wearing a white t-shirt, which makes me think back to the interview he gave when Courtney was still missing, when he had his hat turned around backwards. That's what he was wearing then, was a white t-shirt and blue jeans. And he's wearing a white t-shirt and a gold cross, and he's sniffling. He had been crying. And Warden Kane asked him, "Do you have any final words?" And Bordelon says, "I'm sorry. I don't know if this brings any closure or peace. It should have never happened, but it did, and I'm sorry," he said, choking up and halting to collect himself. His eyes red-rimmed from crying. Bordelon added, "I'd like to apologize to my family and tell them that I love them." At that time, they closed the curtains, and the seven men strap him down to the gurney, and they put the IVs in his arm where the lethal injection chemicals would be coming from. And once that's done, they open the curtains again, and he's strapped down, and he's looking up. He's kind of sniffling, crying a little bit. And he tells Warden Kane, he says, "You know, tell my daughter that I love her." And then, you know, you think, well, this is it, and maybe he found Jesus, he's wearing the gold cross, and he's saying he's sorry and everything. But then at the last second, he looks over through the glass at Courtney's sister, the one he molested, and I guess he just couldn't help himself. The devil rose up in him, because then he starts to say her name and ask her to look at him. He wants her to look him in the eyes. He said, "Look me in the eyes. Look at me. Look me in the eyes." And she wouldn't do it. She said she held her head down. She said she wasn't going to give him that. As they're pushing the lethal dope into his veins, the last thing he does on the face of this earth is try to get one of his victims to look at him in the eyes. And as he's dying, that's what he's saying. He's trying to assert control one more time over one of his victims. That's how I take it. I mean, why not look at your own family while you're taking your last breath? But no, he couldn't help himself. The sadist in him, the devil in him, wants to just reach out and take control one more time of that young lady who he molested. But she didn't give it to him. She said she held her head down and would look him in the eyes. And then they said he took a deep breath along. And then he died. At 6:32 p.m., Warden Kane pronounced Gerald Bordelon dead and said, "We now send his soul to his final judgment." And that's true. And I believe probably, not one to sit in judgment on anybody, but I believe that when that evil came out of him in the last second, when the dope's being pushed into his veins, he's trying to reassert control over the victim, that the true color show through, right? I mean, he's literally dying, trying to reach out, and he just can't help himself. So I believe personally that when he passed, the fires of hell burned a little bit brighter that night, but it is what it is. So one more footnote to the story is everybody leaves and then they come in and they bag his body, et cetera. And the pathologist, the doctor, has to sign off on the death certificate. In Louisiana, as in every other state, when the state executes an inmate, they have to put a cause of death, just like everybody else's death certificate, whether it's natural causes or whatever it may be. They have to list a cause, and the cause of death listed on Gerald Bordelon's death certificate is homicide. That's right. The state has not changed it. None of the states have changed it yet, so it's still technically considered a homicide. His cause of death is homicide by the state of Louisiana. A little bit of poetic justice in that, if you will. And that's it. And on the sphincter scale, well, this one goes straight to murder by you. That's self-explanatory. He got what he deserved, and the only decent thing he ever did was waive his right to appeals, or he would outlive probably all of us on death row. And I'm not trying to be a sadist, but I'm glad he had those years next to Derek Todd Lee and the rest of them, and they gave him hell for what he did to Courtney, for being a child molester and a rapist and a murderer of a sweet, innocent, beautiful young girl. So definitely on the sphincter scale, he's straight off the charts, murder by you. As far as Courtney's mom, I'll leave that one up to y'all, and you know what I think about her. So, but I want to conclude this episode and appreciate you and thank you for listening, and hope you'll tune in next week. We'll have an all new episode on another really good bad guy. We appreciate you for listening to this podcast, and again, thank each and every one of you. We appreciate you. Use the new Real Talk hotline, y'all. I'm looking forward to that and hearing what you have to say and incorporating that into these episodes, and use it and check out our merchandise and check out our private group page. And again, we are having such huge success because of you, the listeners, and y'all taking the time to share and post it in your groups and to your friends. And we're in over 50 countries now. 50 countries around the world. That's amazing. Y'all are amazing, and I really appreciate you. Thank you so much for listening. And I'm Woody Overton, your host of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. Until next week. I don't want no bald-headed woman. Oh, she do me love. Oh, she do me.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.